It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The release of the new book, Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead by Sheryl Sandberg, Facebook's COO, has been garnering a lot of attention. The book offers advice for women in the workplace, where there are still a number of challenges facing them. While Hillary Clinton declared the glass ceiling for women seeking the highest political office has 18 million cracks, some fields, like pro sports, remain a boys' club. Here to look at the business of women in sports management is contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Nice to see you, Paul.
Nice to see you, and you've had the week off, right?
Well, this is the break, spring break for a number of universities. So we're working and taking
time really,
off.
You're never really off. But
it's nice. It's a little bit slower, which is great. Yeah, and the students have gone lots of fun places, so they're going to have a great time.
And so with this little extra time on your hands, I understand that today you've prepared this quiz that we're going to start with. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. You're going to take a quiz, Paul, because since the students are off, you get to be in school today. So How many millions of jobs in sports-related careers exist today, Paul?
How many millions of jobs in sports-related careers exist today?
Take a guess.
And that's just domestically?
Yes. We're just looking at the U.S.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Oh, boy. I'm going to say 5.5 million.
You are so close. Today, there are over 6 million jobs in sports-related careers. The sports industry is another field that was exclusively dominated by men. However, in the past decade or so, more women have moved into middle management and executive positions. We're not where we need to be, but we're getting there. Okay, question number two. How many women top executives are there in the three major sports leagues in this city? That's Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates. We're talking C-suite, way up there, Paul.
Well, there used to be a DeBartolo, the daughter
I don't know if I know the first name.
I'm trying to remember his name right now. But the man who used to own the Penguins, right. his daughter actually took over for him.
Right.
But she is no longer
Correct.
With the team. So that would lead right now. The Penguins are pretty much that's all men there.
Correct.
The Steelers, the Rooney family, I don't believe they've worked any females into the situation.
That's
and
correct.
The Pirates are all men. So that would be a big zero.
That's a big zero. There's one woman who is like an assistant, executive assistant on the Pirates board. But, I mean, again, executive assistant. So we're
– But you're not counting her?
We're sort of counting her. We're going to count her because I think that's cool.
So,
but, again, as you can see – Yeah, I'm gonna call it one.
Okay.
But as you can see, these numbers are low. Okay, so give me third question, Amy Trask. Who is Amy Trask?
Amy Trask. I'm not sure.
Well, I think you probably know this one.
Oh, the CEO of the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
You see, in Pittsburgh, we just pretend they don't exist.
Oh, I see. Okay, right. I understand why that might be. Okay, next question. Pam Gardner. Ring a bell at all?
Pam Gardner.
Mm-hmm. President of Business Operations for the Houston Astros. And she remains the only female CEO in Major League Baseball.
That must have been relatively recent.
Yeah, that was recent.
There's a new management group, I think, that took them over.
Yeah. So that's relatively recent. Now,
okay.
Last question.
You said this was going to be easy.
Come on, Paul. It's okay. You're doing well. No. You're just, we're not really in spring training yet. We're getting there. Okay, last question. What is the percentage of NFL fan base that is female?
A big percentage.
Yes, it is.
I want to say it's like 47%.
You are so close. 45% of the NFL fan base is women. And actually, the NFL has a VP of consumer products in the retail development division, which is a woman. So we're seeing a lot of women who like football and are into football, and there's football attire and everything else. So
now, aren't the St. Louis Rams, where they were owned by Georgia Frontier? Is she no longer running them?
I think we're going to have to let's ask our callers, and maybe somebody will tweet us and let us know. Okay.
All right.
Good.
But if you ask me about the Grand Dames, the Joan Paysons who owned the Mets, or somebody like that, then I could come up. Or Marge Schott,
who owned
the Reds.
Okay. Okay.
And
so,
Shotzi, the dog.
Right.
I remember them.
All right. So you're doing pretty well. So there we go. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. So where do women stand in terms of correlation between participation in athletic programs, which we know is pretty high since Title IX, and head coaching and management positions.
Okay, so women are really participating in inter-athletic programs in record numbers and intercollegiate programs, yet they continue to be very underrepresented in head coaching ranks. Only 43% of coaches of women's sports teams are women, and women account for less than 3% of the coaches of men's sports teams. And certainly while the numbers have increased again, only 21% of athletic directors are women, and nearly 12% of collegiate athletic programs have no, as in zero, women in the administration. Now, here's an interesting fact that I came across. Women hold nearly approximately 15% of the vice president or higher positions in the North American professional sports franchises, which include Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL. And in the Women's National Basketball Association, women hold head coaching positions in six of the 13 teams. So certainly we're seeing some progress, but I think there's a long way to go.
And I understand that there's a correlation between women business executives and organized sports. So let's talk about that as well as management styles.
I love this, really. Although the gender gap remains significant, certainly women on boards and women in executive positions, and we've talked about this before, are increasing. A study was done by an Oppenheimer fund that found that 82% of women business executives played organized sports after elementary school, and it was 20% higher than the general population. So there's a real correlation between women who played sports and those that went on to become business executives. And certainly, as we've talked, Title IX was certainly a huge contributor, and we're celebrating the 40th anniversary this year. But in terms of management style, and this is very interesting, Paul, according to the American Psychological Association, so I did not make this up, okay? This is data.
I don't doubt that. Right, I never doubt your data.
A woman's leadership style is much more mentoring and coaching, while a man's style is much more centered around command and control. And what we find then in terms of implementation is that women are more likely to be transformational leaders. They help employees develop their skills and talents. They motivate them. Coaching can be much more creative. And this approach is really very effective in today's world where consumer and customer service is so important and very one of the most important and profitable types of business that we're looking at. But at the same time, this type of leadership might not be as beneficial when you're looking at traditional male settings like the military or organized sports. So there might be a learning curve that we need to look at here.
We're talking with Rebecca Harris, our business correspondent. We talked earlier about I mentioned the glass ceiling that Hillary Clinton says has a lot of cracks in it now. But there's also something called the grass ceiling. What is the grass ceiling?
All right. The grass ceiling does apply specifically to the sports industry. So 11% of sports editors in 2011, we're talking about in the United States, were women. And just 10% of sports columnists and 7% of sports reporters in 2011 were women. And so we really call this the grass ceiling, which is a gender bias against hiring women for top positions in sports-related management positions. And we know, Paul, from the statistics that athletic director positions are among the top paying jobs and claim the most prestige in colleges. But we're finding that the number of women that are involved in these are much, much lower. And so the question becomes, why do women get frozen out? And a lot of this is because the colleges and universities have little oversight over some athletic programs, and they fail to ensure that talented women are nominated. And also, there's a lack of equality in selection. Women are often hired for secondary positions like associate coaches or and not really the top coaches, and then they don't make it up the ranks. So that's a bit troubling.
So what types of resources are available to advocate for women in sports management?
Well, there's some really important things, and I believe that help is on the way. There is a great organization called Women in Sports and Events, which is WISE. It's a national organization which provides a network and career resources for women professionals in sports-related jobs. It's based in New York, and WISE was founded in 1993, and membership now totals 1,000 people nationwide. And the Pittsburgh chapter just recently launched, and I had the honor of speaking there at one of the recent events, and we talked about women in leadership. So their current board includes women who work for the Penguins, the Pirates, the Steelers, and they're really looking at sports marketing, higher education, human resources, all those things that apply certainly within in the sports realm. So we know these women have lots of talents. If you're interested in sports, LinkedIn has an amazing sports career section where you can get into the groups in LinkedIn. There's we put some of those links up on your website. But I think one of the most important ways for women to advance, as in this field and any other field, is really to identify the decision makers who are willing to help them and to work with in the system and to reach out to men and women who will help really advance them, look at their talents and skills, and help move them forward.
Rebecca Harris is our business correspondent, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, as always, a pleasure visiting with you. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to see you, Paul.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, Christopher Kennedy Lawford on his new book, Recover to Live, Kick Any Habit, Manage Any Addiction. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.